I'd like now to welcome Karen Kane. She is Executive Director of the Street Homeless Animal Project. She's the winner of a 2011 Animal Protection of New Mexico Milagro Award, and Tony Stromberg. He is an award-winning photographer. He has some wonderful books called Spirit Horses and The Forgotten Horses. And we're here to talk about Pets on the Patio, which is an event coming up this Saturday, the 18th of May, from 12 to 3 at the Counterculture Cafe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this organization that you founded and that you're doing, Karen, the Street Homeless Animals Project. What's it about?
Mary Charlotte, what we do, we work with street homeless folks and their companion animals, people that are on the street 24/7 with an animal, primarily dogs, and people who have been on the street that are now in a program or low-income housing. We support them for 6 months until they have an opportunity to work with their case manager, therapist, to get on their feet.
And so there are a lot of people on the streets, and everybody's seen them, who have dogs, who have animals, mostly dogs. Are there other animals? I mean, do people have ferrets, cats?
Mostly dogs. We have had cats. We have had a few ferrets. We have had a few snakes. And, believe it or not, a couple of tarantulas.
Oh, my goodness.
Whatever one considers to be their family, their companion animal.
And that's the thing. I mean, people who are on the street, just like everybody else who has a dog in the house, that dog is their family.
Absolutely. And for many of these folks, these companion animals, that is their only family. Hugely important to these people out there on the street.
One thing that I think is remarkable is how kind of calm and cooperative all these dogs seem. Like when I've walked downtown or wherever and seen people who are clearly, you know, in challenging life situations, they do not have crazy dogs who are pulling at the leash and jumping all over the place and so on. They always seem to have very calm dogs, almost as if these dogs say, look, I've got a role to play, and that is to be a kind of stable presence.
I think that's true. The other aspect of that is, these companion animals are with these folks 24/7, unlike myself, out during the day, all day, come home. These animals are with these people day in, day out.
And so that just makes them more secure, I suppose, in a funny way.
I think absolutely that is so true. I think I saw some quote or something by the fellow Cesar Millan, who said that street homeless folks' animals were some of the best behaved.
Yeah. And, of course, for dogs, it's not so much of a hardship unless it's very, very, very cold to be outdoors in the way it is for human beings. Dogs evolved outdoors.
Right.
So what's the nature of your work? Like, what do you do every day?
Primarily what we do is veterinary care, leashes, harnesses, bailing out of the pound, city licenses, every facet that you and I would deal with our own companion animal, other than probably ours or not, maybe going to the pound or whatnot, some kind of a duress situation like that.
Although sometimes they're picked up.
Sometimes they are picked up. So whatever we need for our companion animals, we supply and support out there on the street. We do a lot of preventative. I feel like that's essential. Good grade food, prevention, heart guard, those kinds of things. So the philosophy is an ounce of prevention. Then we end up with less illness, less problem. Inoculation, hugely important to prevent diseases like parvo, distemper. So we
spay and neuter,
huge, absolutely huge. Just simply for the person with the animal, and the importance of it for that companion animal health-wise, and that kind of thing.
Now, you are a psychotherapist by profession. Is there a counseling aspect also to the work at all?
I think it would have been clearly more difficult to do the program if there had not been that background. I had worked at different agencies around town, and my last position was with dealing and working with homeless folks. So I think it's been tremendously helpful.
We're talking about the Street Homeless Animal Project with Karen Kane and Tony Stromberg. Now, the two of you have gotten together, and Tony, you are doing actually, besides these incredibly beautiful photographs of horses that you've become famous for, you're doing a project with Karen specifically on this project.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Completely different project for me, dealing with people I can actually talk to in a different way.
Yeah.
This came out through a mutual friend of ours who's a photography lover and knows my work, who introduced us and who was also an animal lover and advocate. And we talked around a few rounds and decided this would be a great project to get involved with, to do a series of photographs of people on the street with their animal companions and create a show out of it to bring public awareness to what Karen's trying to do here. And it's been great fun, actually.
So what do? You go around in New Mexico, in Santa Fe, and see people, homeless people, with their animals and say, can I take your picture?
I meet Karen downtown, usually. We make the rounds. She knows a lot of these people from her history as a psychotherapist, working for whoever you worked for, I forget. But
right.
She knows most of them. You know, there's a lot of transients that come through that are on their way to another place. That's a whole other thing, but they know her, and the ones that I've seen, it's really cool to watch, is they have a tremendous amount of trust in Karen, you know, through their interactions they've had in the past. So she approaches them, explains what we're doing with the project, and basically broaches the subject, you know, would you want to participate in this project by having your picture taken and displayed so we can help to promote and bring awareness to this project. And pretty much all have been very receptive and very happy to help.
Do they ask for a picture?
A lot of them do, yeah. They're very excited to get. In fact, one guy has
That's
asked
right.
about five times now, when am I going to get my picture? No, they'll definitely get their
Do you think pictures. Of it as a portrait of a human, a portrait of an animal, a portrait of a family?
I would say a family, more like a family. You know, the bond between these people and their animals is really profound, and it is definitely their family. And I see a lot of them take care of their animals probably better than they take care of themselves. Anyway, it almost gives them a sense of purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to have that in their life.
That is so very and true.
And I think that's where you see the companion animal so calm and so present, because I think it's a reciprocal thing. They both have a role to care for each other.
I imagine that the dogs do quite a bit of keeping people warm during cold weather, too.
Absolutely. One thing, a caveat to that, is I think our Achilles for the program had been that we never have had any kind of a situation when it gets bitterly cold for the human to go into a shelter and somewhere for the companion animal to be. So most folks, rather than part, they would stay out on the street with their companion animal, with their family, to be together.
And the dog is not allowed into
and
a
the dog
shelter.
Is not allowed into a shelter. My feeling had always been is that rather than a structure or a building, what we needed, if we could round up a few foster families. And at this point, I'm very happy to say that we have two foster families. And they are very attuned to dealing with bigger animals and pit mix. So that had been always something that we were lacking. So we now have two foster families. I would love it if we could, four more would be great, a total of five or six foster families. So that's something that I'm very pleased to be able to say and let folks out there know, if someone ends up in hospital, jail, or a bitterly cold night, that there is an option now. They can phone us and we make arrangement with the foster family. So this is a very, very good thing.
What is the number that people can call if they want to do that?
The number would be, it's my personal number and the program number, and that's 505-501-4933.
And we'll give that number again at the end of the program. What kinds of animals do you most often see on the street with people? Is it mostly pit mixes?
It is. Of course, we've had a few little you know, Chihuahuas and smaller, and but primarily it's larger breed dogs and a lot of pits.
Interesting. Why is that?
And that's a great question. Why is it, you know, shepherd mixes and red heelers and pit mix? And a lot of these people, they come upon these animals. So if one is traveling, they come upon one another and they befriend, and then we have this incredible match.
So this Saturday, once again, there's a wonderful event that you guys are planning for the Street Homeless Animal Project. It's called Pets on the Patio, and it's at Counterculture Cafe, which is on Baca Street, right near the corner of Cerrillos Road. And it's from 12 to 3, and there's going to be lots of good stuff. Food, treats for people and pets.
That's right.
A silent auction of handmade dog bowls by local artists. I love that. And a photo exhibit by you, Tony. So the pictures that you've been taking during this project will be available to be seen and for sale?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. They are for sale. In fact, I think all the proceeds from any of the sales go directly to the Homeless Animal Project.
There are some people who say that it's irresponsible for a person who doesn't have a home, who's really in hard times, to have a dog, to take care of a dog. How do you respond to that?
We hear that a lot, and my response is ordinarily that the bottom line is these people do have companion animals. They do have dogs. They do have cats, whatever their companion is, that's their family. And regardless of whether we or one agrees with that or not, this is the reality. And we have an ethical and a moral responsibility to help out.
I think you have to, when you say, should homeless people have animals, and I think one has to define what home is and
indeed
what is the
so.
Definition of that. And I think people, this is where people find home, is in the companion animals.
Yeah.
That's a great point. That's very, very true. That definitionally, that's different for everyone.
So you're having this event this weekend, but you're there the whole year long, Karen, out on the streets, talking to people, helping them with their animals, providing
right.
dog food, all of these things. What can people who are listening, if they want to support your project, what can they do?
I think the biggest aspect, we have around town at Tecatoo, Zoe and Guido, Petco, different places, we have like a bin, and we have a little flyer poster on there, and what we're trying to do is save our money to go primarily to vet care, so we're doing these drives so that people can donate gently used collars, leashes, harnesses, which are usually in demand out there.
And dog food?
You know, dog food, that's difficult. We have no storage space primarily. So
better to just give a donation and then you can buy the dog food.
Absolutely. Our biggest expense of the program is veterinary care.
Would you like to make a call out to local veterinarians who could maybe donate a bit of their time?
What we do is we use the wellness clinic that's affiliated with the Santa Fe Humane Society next to Outback Steakhouse. That's one of our primary. The second primary, or first second, is Smith Veterinary Clinic. And the reason being is Smith is the location. It's very close to downtown. They have a number of docs on duty, and people can just simply walk in, which works out great for our clientele, being close to downtown and being able to walk in, because many folks don't have any transportation.
That's right.
So that works out really, really terrifically.
And that's just a few blocks from the Santa Fe Bacon Company.
That's right.
On Louisa Street on the corner of Alta Vista.
That's right.
Close to that, yeah.
And they have been amazing, incredible, I cannot say enough.
But it sounds like your biggest need is actual financial donations.
Absolutely. As we all know, from having our own companion animals, vet care is hugely expensive. So I think like anyone, that's the biggest plea that we have for the program is monetary, so we can continue to do what we're doing with the clinics that we're doing, the vets that are helping us.
Yeah.
Money is, like for everyone, money is huge. That's clearly what we need the most.
So, for example, people can make a monthly donation, things like that.
That would be terrific. That way, then, we would be guaranteed that we have something at whatever given time. Like right now, we're going into parvo season. And in fact, just today, I got a phone call from the clinic. We have a parvo case.
Oh.
And for anyone who knows about distemper parvo, the suffering is unimaginable, can be, and the financial cost.
Whereas the vaccinations, I mean, an ounce of prevention, as you say, is worth a pound of cure.
Correct.
Everybody gets their little parvo vaccinations when they're puppies, and
that's
you
right.
can avoid that.
That's right. So monetarily, that's huge. We need money to keep the program going, clearly.
Now, Tony, you've been observing Karen here as she goes around, and she's very modest about her own work, but how have you seen her interacting with folks on the street?
I think you asked a question earlier, is, you know, because of her history and psychotherapy, is there a counseling component to this? I would say so, definitely. Not officially, but there's definitely, I think they feel like she is definitely part of their family in a very big way. I see how much trust they have established in her, and these oftentimes people that have trouble trusting. So there's a profound connection I see with them. So you know, is there... That's what's been magical to watch for me, is her engaging the people that I'm meeting on the street and listening to their stories, their dialogue. What I've learned, some incredible wisdom and integrity that really has surprised me a lot. One thing I found is really interesting as far as, you know, Karen's program, I've noticed a few people I've met expressing the desire that if they ever do get some extra money, they want to give it to Karen and the program to help them because they feel it's supported them so much. So again, there's this beautiful reciprocity.
Amazing.
And these are, you know, people with not much.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's really a kind of a lesson in gratitude and as you say, reciprocity.
And values. And
yeah. Well, it's the Street Homeless Animal Project, and it's the annual fundraiser. If people would like more information, they can go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/NNMSHAP, that's Northern New Mexico's Street Homeless Animal Project, or they can just go into Facebook and put some of the words in and it'll come right up. Karen Kane is the executive director, and if you want to call her and find out more information or make donations of any kind, the number is 505-501-4933. Tony Stromberg, award-winning photographer, and his work, again, will be there this weekend at Counterculture, Pets on the Patio, from 12 to 3 at 930 Baca Street in Santa Fe. And your website is tonystromberg.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.